Hi, everybody. I want to say good evening, family. My name is Susie. I'm an addict. Hi, everybody. Wow. This is a huge, huge platform, and it's such a privilege and an honor to share my experience, strength, and hope with you and celebrate these beautiful principles of ours. They're tools for living, and it's not about making them perfect. It's about practice, these beautiful spiritual principles. I'm going to try to focus on a few of them tonight, and we'll see what comes out, because I don't normally prepare for a share, but I had so many old-timer friends tell me, Suze, this is the ECCNA, prepare. And basically, one of my sponsors said to me, Suze, you've been preparing for 44 years, so I'm just going to go with the God of my... With the God of my understanding or non-understanding, my higher power, please speak through me. I will say that my home group is here in Amsterdam. I've lived here for 25 years, and it is the Step Working Guides group of Narcotics Anonymous in Amsterdam at the English Church every Sunday at 6 o'clock. It's a hybrid meeting, so I hope all of you will join us when you're back in your home on Sundays. You can join us online, which is a beautiful thing. For me, I'll tell you a little bit about my experience, strength, and hope if I don't boil up here. It is very warm, and I am raised in a tropical island, so you would think that I could do this and that I'd be okay with it, but my older age... It's not working for me. What can I say? You know, you don't get clean time and not get old. You get old. And you get hotter. But not in a good way. Anyway. If I don't have humor in my life, I will lose the plot. I need humor to deflect depression, to deflect sadness, to deflect anything that doesn't feel good. I really need it. Can you hear me, Nicole? Thank you, sweetheart. Okie doke. I talk a lot, but I also find the spiritual principle of listening so, so, so important. Because for me, listening is about love and action. It's about caring for other people and listening to what they have to say, and especially the newcomer who really needs to get it out. We all need to get it out when we need to get it out. Let's face it. Just a little bit of background. I am of Argentinian blood, but I am... Hola! Bienvenidos! But I am raised in Puerto Rico, and... If anybody is here from Puerto Rico, hello. Soy casi boricua. That means, well, basically you call Puerto Ricans boricuanos. Anyways, bottom line is I'm raised boricua. I am raised in a Holocaust survivor community in Puerto Rico in the 50s. And that was a very different time in that Holocaust survivor community. There were about 30 families, if I'm estimating. And in that community, there was a lot of joy and laughter and rage and anger and confusion and corporal punishment. That in the 50s, you could hit your kid and it was okay. And they were called spankings. Those spankings for me bordered on beatings, and I carried that pattern forward. I'm going to back up a second to say I don't want to talk much about my using because, as you always hear from any other person, old-timer, we all know how to use. We all do. You don't need to have me tell you how to do that because I did plenty of it. Drugs were in my system before I had a name. My mom lost my biological brother. I have an adopted brother and sister before I was born. He would have been 3 years older. I often wonder how wonderful it would be if he were here. So I talked to him on the other side. I have an adopted brother and sister, as I mentioned, not really close, but there's love. Love for me is a very, very important principle. Unconditional love, another principle, extremely important, and that is to love people despite their character flaws, despite anything, to love them without conditions. And I, from being born addicted to my mother's pharmaceuticals, benzos and opiates. I will say that I had consequences to my physical body. I'm severely ADHD. Let me just say that. So if I can get this all out and have it flow, that will be some kind of miracle. Thank you. that will be amazing. From being born addicted, not only did I scream for the first year of my life, and I did not know. I was told I was the worst baby that ever lived, that you basically didn't shut up for 1 year. And I thought, in those days, in my whole life, I thought, what a burden. What a burden I must have been. And I have to be very vigilant, use that principle of vigilance, not to repeat that in my later years, because I always thought I am a burden, but that's a false negative belief. I am not a burden. I am not too much. Sometimes I think with my ADHD, I can talk a lot, I can be too much. It's okay. I accept me for who I am today, with my character and my flaws. And I have to say that we all have character defects. I call them character effects. I don't feel like a defective human being. It's how my character affects me and other people. And I have two that constantly will come up. One is rebelliousness. Can you imagine such a thing? Rebelliousness. And self-righteous indignation. I can be wrong. We got a beautiful 10-step. I can be wrong, and I'm okay with it. And I'll tell you quickly when I mess up. I'm also working very hard in my later recovery not to curse. I don't think I'll succeed tonight, but I'm going to try. I'm going to give it my best shot. Basically, I'm going to lose my train of thought from now and again. Let me back up also to say that I have ME. ME is an autoimmune illness that causes tremendous brain fog. Like, I don't have enough up here with my older age. I've also got brain fog and ADHD. So I don't know what this is going to come out to be, but I do know that I do love these principles. I do love this program. And I always hear from old timers, if anyone never told you today that they love you, I do. I love you today. This program... I mean that from the bottom of my heart. They are not just words. Just like these principles, they are not words. They are tools. They are tools that guide us to live and to live productive, happy, responsible lives. Another principle, responsibility. It was very hard for me. Being born addicted, also have a lot of digestive problems and balance problems with equilibrium. Did I ever ride a bicycle in Holland? No. I can't balance. That's pretty sad to come to Holland and not ride a bike, but that's another story. growing up in Puerto Rico was a beautiful opportunity, a beautiful life opportunity that I had. Obviously, as an Argentinian and a kind of half Puerto Rican, I speak Spanish. It is my mother tongue. But my English was very, very... accented, I would say, when I moved to the United States. I got a call at 15 that we're moving from camp, summer camp, that you and your sister will be moving to Florida. And my brother was in military school. Very strange for a Jewish family, but yes, my whole family's military. That's very odd. But he was shipped off at age 9, so I didn't really, my brother's 4 years older, I didn't really know him that well. But at 15, we moved to the United States, and I was dropped off into another life, another place that I did not know, another culture. I grew up in a European household, and with all these beautiful families, we had so many friends, and I thought I had more aunts and uncles than any kid on the planet, because we were always told, this is Uncle Jack, this is Aunt Yvonne, this is aunt and uncle. So I had all these aunts and uncles in this beautiful community. And then I got to America, and I was extremely bullied, called a whole lot of names. One of them that still sits with me, well, a lot of names. The worst name you can call a Jew, worst name you can call a Latin. And I was called a whore, and I was a virgin. So I thought, whoa, this is not working. I am not happy here. And I got these kids at the front door. There were three of them. They knew my parents traveled always. And they said, can we come in? Yeah, sure. Where's your kitchen? I didn't think twice, there's the kitchen. We all went in there, and they're busy doing some things, and that was basically, they were just, Susie, put your arm out. I was 15, I did. That was the first time I really used the needle, something that I addicted to. I did not addict only to the drugs that I shot, but I have to tell you that I addicted to the needle. I normally have very red hands. I don't know why they're not red at the moment, but it's strange, because I shot up every vein that I had. And that's the kind of addict that I was. And let me back up and say that it does not matter that I am a low bottom addict. It doesn't matter how much you used, when you used, how often. What matters is what this disease did to you, what it did to your spirit. And that's why we live by spiritual principles, or we try to, we strive to. I do. I do my best to live these principles. I'm going to focus on some tonight. I don't need to probably read them. The how of the program are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With honesty, whoa, that was a big one for me. I would have lied. I did lie about every single thing that I thought you wanted to hear from me. I people-pleased, a form of dishonesty. I wanted acceptance. I needed acceptance and love so badly. I craved it because as a kid, my sister and brother, we read this story every weekend of my life, The Chosen Child. And I wasn't chosen. I was just born and quite addicted. And the bottom line is I wanted to be chosen too. I wanted to be adopted too. My parents thought, oh, she's going to understand. She's our natural child. She'll understand that we love her. Kid doesn't get that. Kid doesn't get it. And so I've had to do a lot of work to heal that child in my later recovery because I broke down at 22 years. I literally broke. And I can say that the principles of honesty is a huge one. I had to learn to rewire my brain, actually, to learn to become honest because step one demanded that of me. It demanded that I be honest, become honest. I thought not capable, constitutionally incapable. Everything that came out of my mouth was not true, just so you would like me. And so that's been something that has been beautiful in my recovery. I have learned to become honest. I have learned not to people please. It does not matter if you don't like me. Just show me compassion and respect and maybe a little love. You don't even have to show me that. Just a little bit of respect because that's what I'm going to do for you. I would love to tell you that I like everybody and love the whole world. That's not true. I don't like some people. Some people have done me a lot of harm. And you know what? When I see them, I'll hug them. I'll give them compassion, and I'll give them love. But I do not have to like them, and that's okay. And that's what this program has taught me. I know about my character. I know that my character is kind and loving and caring and giving. I know that about myself. I did not know that about myself when I was out there using, because I wasn't that person when I was loaded. I wasn't. Back up to high school. And after all the bullying, I was basically being shot up. I was free. I was home. No more pain. No more trauma. I basically taught myself how to shoot drugs. It was very, very difficult, but I made sure that I learned that. And the bottom line is I had a vicious drug career, which I said I won't share. But by the time I got to these rooms at 19, let me back up because I was put in a nut house. The first institution that I was put in, because I am older, and in my day, we didn't have many treatment centers. We had Synanon. I almost went there, by the way. Almost got sent there, not went there. I was committed at 19. I came home from university strung out on dope. And my father came in the room and said, "What the F is wrong with you?" And I'm like, "Well, Bobby, I need help." I didn't want help. I wanted dope. I wanted to score. But it was my father. I didn't, and I was jonesing. I ran out of dope, and I was sick. And I was always sick, always dope sick. The problem that I had was that I addicted to 5 pharmaceuticals, massive quantities of them, and the liquid drug on top of it. I do not mention names of drugs. I do not want to trigger anyone's addiction. And I could really give you a drug-a-log. Not interesting, not fun, and certainly shameful, still to me today. because of the amount and the quantities that I use. You see me, not big, very small person, and I used a lot. Oops. And the amount that my poor system graduated to were ridiculous. So I actually thought I had to die of this disease. I did not think it was possible for anybody to get this body clean. I used 30 benzos a day, 10 milligram. That's just one of them. That's all I will say. The rest were used just like that, those massive quantities. So I was detoxed very, very, very badly. Basically, I was given the same, a different benzo, the same milligrams, and then after 30 days, taken off cold. I went into psychosis. My first 2 years in these rooms were in full-on psychosis. And I got wheeled in after the Nut House, by the way. The Nut House was at 19. Lots of bad stuff happened at 19, because at 19 is when I started dying of this disease. I didn't make it to the rooms till 23. So dying of this disease at 19, using all those quantities every day, all day, and shooting unshootable drugs, shooting them all I could, all that was shootable and non-shootable. That's why I say my addiction was also to the paraphernalia. And that is something that's very shameful for me to admit, because my father, this is where truth really comes in, where willingness and open-mindedness has to come in. My biggest moment of truth that shattered me and also saved my life was when my father was dying of cancer. I was 23 years old, and he said, "Susanna, I want you to give me my pills." My mother was pissed as hell. "Why, Susanna? I am your wife. Why am I not giving you your pills?" He insisted, "I want Susanna to give them to me." And he came to me and he said, "Susanna, you know exactly what I need for this cancer journey. You tell the doctor what I need. Tell him everything that I need, because I know you know." He knew I was an addict, and he knew I was a bad one, and I was dying. And he was dying of cancer. He had a choice. Didn't have a choice. I did. He knew I had that choice. And so he set me up. He put all of those pills on the TV set, maybe this wide. There was bottle after bottle after bottle. He was counting every night. I was taking 5 for me, 1 for you, 4 for me, 1 for you, and he was counting. And when he was in the hospital right before he died, he called me in his room and he said, "Susanna, I have one question for you, only one. And if I keep it together on this, it'll be the first time ever, because I never can." Oof. He said, "How can you steal a dying man's pills?" That was the moment of honesty that came in that saved my freaking life. It shattered me. It saved me. The compassion that I show people today is something that I was given in 12-step calls. I was, but I was brought into the Liquid Fellowship. This junkie was brought into AA, wheeled into AA, because in that psychosis, and I had a lot of physical damage. I couldn't walk. I had to learn to walk properly again. I had to learn to talk properly again, to see and to hear properly again, from being detoxed that way. In service, another huge principle, it is the foundation of my program. I have worked so hard with doctors all over the United States, but mainly in Chicago, where I lived for 25 years, to not detox the addict and re-addict them, or detox them where they're going to jones out, they're going to be so sick like me, or go into psychosis. They still unfortunately do that here. They're like, "Oh, 3 weeks into detox, you're fine." That's when you just start to withdraw from benzos. You just start after a month, heavy. I am very, very, very blessed that I made it through those 2 years. Unbelievable that I made it through. I made it through with a lot of perseverance, a very important principle, a lot of willingness, because I was willing to do anything, to go to any lengths for my recovery. I am still willing to do that today. That willingness is so, so important to me, because I know I don't have another time out there. because after almost 3 years in these rooms, I went out. I had a boyfriend that told me, oh, you will drink with me. And I'm like, the hell I will. No, I won't. Within a week of that period, something I don't share, but just started to share recently. I shared it the first time on a share for Loving Your Long-Timers. My whole story's on there, the down and dirty, and all of it. And what had happened to me was that I was brutally raped, and I could not stay clean for 2 years. Not only was I raped, I had a lot of surgery. I was hurt, very badly hurt. The rape was pretty intense in my recovery. Before that, I had every bone in my face broken at 19 because I embarrassed my boyfriend for being loaded in public. So I've had a lot of physical kind of harm and stuff that's gone on for me. When I went out, I crawled, kicked, and scratched and fought my way back to these rooms. I picked up dirty chips. I said I was clean when I wasn't, because I wanted to be. I wanted what you all had again, and I gave it away. And the pain in me was so huge, I still have physical consequences from that rape today, still today. Emotional and mental, I've worked that out through my steps, through my program, and through these principles. I have had to stop breaking my own, crossing my own boundaries, stop the people pleasing, stop doing what you wanted me to do, start being true to me, be true to my own person, honor my own truth. And that became something very important for me with these principles, is to live them. The honesty, open-minded, and willingness are one thing, but acceptance is such a huge principle. And I had to accept a whole lot about my life and know that when I got to the ninth step, that almost everybody on my list at step eight, excuse me, had harmed me. And I had to put that aside and know that amends are for the amends maker. They're for me. They're for my peace of mind, because forgiveness is so critical to my recovery. It's another principle that I have problems with from time to time, is forgiveness. And forgiveness is not because it's okay, because it wasn't. What you did wasn't okay. But forgiveness is for me, for my own peace of mind. Part of the honesty thing is my integrity. Another very important principle is integrity. Because that's who I am. It's my real person, and it's my heart, you know, that speaks to you. So I speak to you tonight with integrity. And by the way, I forgot to do something very important. I dedicate my share to Ted. Ted founded Narcotics Anonymous in Amsterdam. I need to dedicate that. I won't dedicate to people still here, but my dearest best friend, Wilhelmina, started it in Rotterdam. So I'm very proud of her. Woo! And the last person that I will dedicate this share to is someone we lost recently. I've lost many, many addicts in my life to this disease. And we lost Victor last month. I don't want to cry. So it's for you, Victor, also. And I miss him. Miss him. He was such a dear brother. Anyways, I made it back to these rooms. But I had to go, by the way, I'll back up. I was 8 months in treatment when I first got in at 23 years of age. I celebrated my 24th birthday 4 weeks after I got clean. And I have to say that that treatment center saved my life and almost killed me all at once. I was in extended care, and the psychologist who ran that unit was an alcoholic who absolutely hated junkies. She stuck her face in mine and she said, I hate you. I hate junkies. I thought, oh, I'm not gonna do very well in here, I don't think. I might have some problems now. I did. Oh boy, I had hair down to my waist. She made me cut it off up to here. She made me take my makeup off. In those days, it was important. These days, I hardly wear it. Vanity does go out the window a little bit when you're older. It just flies out there. I don't know what happens. It just goes somewhere. But I wore makeup for you guys today. That was big for me. But, you know, back to the story, you know, I don't like to stay stuck in that story because that was yesterday. And I really have to live in today. When I came back in that treatment center after 8 months, I was kicked out for continuous rebellious behavior. And I didn't even sleep with anyone. How dare they kick me out without freaking breaking that cardinal rule? It was just, I didn't do what they told me to do. Can you imagine that? It's still one of my big character effects, rebelliousness. I'm working on it. I will always be working on something. And that's the beauty of this program, because humility teaches me that I remain teachable, that I am not always right, that I am not so damn important, that I'm not so self-important, that I really, really need to say when I'm wrong. And it has right-sized me, that principle, like nobody's business. There is humiliation, that's one thing. And then there's humility. Five, thank you. And there are counters to these beautiful. The thing about the spiritual principles is that we can counter them. Our character effects with spiritual principles. Honesty, dishonesty, people-pleasing, honesty. All of them have counters. I've written a few down since I have 5 minutes. I'm never good at winding up, but I need like one last minute. Ay, Dios mío. Oh. First of all, I want to say that there are spiritual principles in every step. I didn't have time. I have a half an hour or I would have gone through every step. But the principles in them are step one, honesty, acceptance, humility, open-mindedness, willingness, hope. Step two, open-mindedness, hope, faith, willingness, trust, humility. Step three, that's when hope translates into faith and trust. Commitment, surrender, willingness, and for me, open-mindedness. Step four, courage, honesty, self-awareness, faith and trust. Step five, integrity, humility, transparency, courage, trust, self, honesty, commitment. Step six, willingness, readiness, openness, humility, perseverance, commitment, faith and trust, self-acceptance. I should read the steps or say them. Those have to deal with our character effects, six and seven. Step four, we all know it's about taking a personal moral inventory. Steps two and three is about finding a higher power. I came out of an atheistic household. That was one of the hardest things for me to do, was to find a higher power. And when I sat in treatment, they said, hey, little girl, you can't tell me that there's no power, no power in this world that's greater than you. I said, okay, the wind. I survived four hurricanes in my life, four brutal ones, seven in total. So I figured I know a little bit about the wind. And I lived in Chicago, the windy city, and now I'm in Amsterdam, quite windy. But when I feel the wind, I do feel the higher power. I feel the wind up against my back. I feel my higher power in me. My higher power is so important. My higher power is in me. I often say to people, don't give your power away. Pain that is not transformed is transferred, and we will transfer it into any tentacle of this disease if we're not vigilant, whether that be overworking, overspending, love and sex, work, all of it. Those are tentacles of the disease, and I have to be very vigilant to not transfer pain. I need to transform it. Another thing that I will say is that recovery is my first priority. My second priority are relationships. My third priority is work. And when I mixed those up, I got very mixed up. I can't mix those priorities up. I work 60 to 80 hours. I forgot to have kids in there. I forgot to get married. Something happened in there with those 60 to 80 hour work weeks when I got clean. Another thing that's very important for me about honesty is there's three components of truth. Number one, is it true? Number two, is it necessary to speak this truth? Number three, is it kind? And I use those components all the time, because I don't want to hurt people unnecessarily. but sometimes I need to speak a hard truth, especially to sponsees. And service is the last thing that I really want to focus on. It's the foundation of my program. I have served from day one. I needed to serve. I needed to get humble. I needed to get out of my arrogance. I needed to get out of myself, and I needed to learn how to become responsible and to serve you. And I still do so today. I wish that more people did service in meetings. I need to say that. I really do. I sponsor 8 people. 4 are male, 4 are female. I said I'm a rebel. Most of those 4, 3 of them are gay males. And that's how I found my intro to NA from the Liquid Fellowship. I went to the wrong meeting, or it wasn't the wrong meeting, it was the right meeting. But I landed in a meeting, and they looked at me and said, oh my God, I'm in a men's meeting. They said, honey, you're not just in a men's meeting, you're in a gay men's meeting. I'm like, I said, better, right on, good. They said, do you need a meeting, honey? I said, oh yeah. They said, then you're welcome, wanted and needed in here. And I went to that meeting, and they invited me back. And I made friends in there, and that's what I started sponsoring gay men and still do so today. And I love my sponsees more than I have words. I need to tell you how much they have taught me and how much I get back from sponsoring them, how much I get back from service. I do tremendous amount of service in the rooms. I did area level service. It wasn't for me. It's okay. I do other service. I've done every service position in a meeting that you can imagine except hosting. I don't know how to do the computer so well. I'm older. But the rest of it, it's very, very, very important for me. The last thing, I know I need to wind down. One of the things that are very, very important, I didn't finish the steps, or step 7, humility, trust, faith. Step 8 was accountability, forgiveness, courage, compassion. I told you I'll get all over the place. You know what? I'm not going to go through them. You can look them up. Yeah. There is one thing with all of these notes that my old-timer friends told me to prepare with. I've not really used them. And my lip gloss is going flying. Thank you, Derek. I end every share, no matter when I share. And I will say that my clean date is January 30th, 1981. After those 2 years, I went back to another treatment, and I've been clean a day at a time ever since. And that's how I work this program, is a day at a time. It's the only way that it can work for me. If I'm in yesterday or in tomorrow, I'm messed up. My higher power today is huge. My higher power is madly in love with me, and I'm madly in love with my higher power, and that's a beautiful thing. My higher power is multifaceted. I have a lot of angels around me because I should be very, very dead. I survived 4 overdoses, and you heard my story. So I end every share by reading the spiritual principles. There may be more, but these are the ones that I have. And I thank you so much for letting me share a bit of my strength, my hope, strength, and experience with you tonight, with my ESH, as we say, experience, strength, and hope. I'll get that out right, ADHD head. Okay, here we go. Our beautiful principles: acceptance, accountability, anonymity, awareness, balance, something I don't have, at least not in my body, have it in my head today, caution, change, very important, choice, commitment, communication, there's open, honest communication as well, compassion, connection, confidence, consistency, conviction, courage, creativity, beautiful principle, dignity. Thank you for giving me my dignity back, every one of you. Discipline, discernment, empathy, so important. Equality, also so important. equanimity. So a lot of people don't know what equanimity is. Calmness, composure in a difficult situation. Faith, fidelity, flexibility, forgiveness, freedom, generosity, giving, goodwill, grace, gratitude, something I have massive, massive quantities of. I live in gratitude. As we used to say in the old days, I have an attitude of gratitude. I'm very grateful for it. Growth, harmony, honesty, hope, hospitality, humility, inclusiveness, independence, integrity, intimacy, into me you see, kindness, love, listening, loyalty, maturity, I'm working on that, meditation, open, honest communication, there it is, so critical a principle, open-mindedness, part of our how, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, optimism, passion, patience, perseverance, prudence. That's good and careful judgment when handling practical matters. I didn't know what it meant, so I had to look it up. Purpose. Admitting powerlessness is a principle, very much so. Prayer, practice, purpose, reliability, reconciliation, respect, huge. Respect is very big. I learned the Dutch language out of respect for the Dutch people, and I taught it to myself because it's the language is Dutch, the Dalis Nederlands, it's not English, so I learned it. Responsibility, resilience, sacrifice, safety, security, self-acceptance, self-awareness, self-care, self-discipline, selflessness, huge. Self-support, service, huge. Simplicity, sincerity, sharing, stability, solidarity, steadfastness, surrender, sympathy, tolerance, trust, unconditional love, understanding, unity, vigilance, vulnerability, welcome, willingness, wisdom, wonder. And I have xenophilia. Why, of course, the eccentric person in me would pull out something ridiculous like that, but it is a principle. And xenophilia means the attraction and appreciation of foreign people, cultures, and all foreign things and customs. So I have that. I have an appreciation for the Dutch culture, and I love you all, and that's why I moved here. I found freedom living in Europe. It's been a beautiful, beautiful journey here, and a beautiful journey in the rooms. I can't do this without you. I will mess up often. I will say one thing. Sponsorship is so important also that I have a sponsor. At 44 years, I'm actually humbly telling you that I'm looking for a new sponsor. So if you got a lot of time and you got a lot of compassion, come and see me. Thank you for letting me share tonight. Love you all, and I send you, from my language, abrazos, hugs.